Hey everyone, welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. We are so happy to have you with us. We are live right now on Facebook, YouTube, as well as Periscope. And we're just excited to be continuing our month of March, which we're talking about tips and hints. And our guest tonight is Sarah Collins with Collins Academy Therapy Services. Welcome, Sarah. We're so happy to have you with us.
I'm thrilled to be here. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we haven't talked about this subject ever. It's, you know, handwriting or, you know, pre-writing skills for students. And I know we're going to cover a broad range of ages too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, so if you're watching, if you know somebody who has a student that struggles in this area and a parent who is homeschooling or right now, like we're, Sarah and I were talking about ahead of time, if you're kind of homeschooling without a choice right now. We want to help you help your student. You know, this is a time when you can work on some things with your student or your child in your home, and they can be fun too, can't they?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
So we want you to put your comments, your questions in the feed so that we can have you be part of our conversation as well. This isn't going to be just us. It's going to be all of us. So definitely join in the conversation. But Sarah, as we get started, I'm going to pull your slides up, but I would love you to talk about, a little bit about yourself and your LLC and what you do and how you help homeschoolers and just your passion about what you do.
Okay, absolutely. So, So we are a homeschooling family. I was just telling Peggy a little bit before this is never in a billion years what I would have imagined for our family. But really, I was working full time. I started out as an occupational therapist with pediatrics in Baltimore, Maryland. And then my husband and I, as our kids got a little bit older, I felt like I was really giving my all to everyone else's kids and not giving so much to my own. I would get home at the end of the day and be like, at that point I started working in home healthcare and worked with a lot of families and really just loved that dynamic of working with all of the people within a home, you know, and everybody's home looks 100% different. Or not 100%, but a big percentage different.
Right, our own culture and our family.
Right. So I just really loved, you know, problem solving with families and looking through that way. And it was actually within a home that I was at where there was the grandmother was who I was treating, and then the daughter, and then she was homeschooling her kids. And she said, Sarah, I feel like I need to tell you about this and about homeschooling. And I pretty much said, fantastic for you, but I work full time and you're never going to play out. Lo and behold, within a matter of weeks, my husband got a new job up here in Pennsylvania, which is where we currently are now. Mm-hmm. And the timing of our move just made it so within the end of that school year, it made more sense for us to homeschool. And we never went back after that. We had the pleasure of being able to, those first few weeks and months, to go to millions of museums and travel all around and just really get to know my kids and their interests. And I recognize for all the people that are homeschooling starting, you know, right now, that is not the advantage. And that, you know, extra time that we had. But thankfully, because of that, we were able to really hone in on skills and things that my kids needed and their interests. And so that's where we are.
That's something that parents can still do. You know, if your kids are home with you, you're waiting for curriculum maybe to come from your public school, get to know your kids. You're going to learn a lot about how they learn. And that is what the key to your child learning is, not getting the right curriculum. Right. And it's so many people are trying to look for the right thing when they homeschool. The right thing is getting to know your child.
Yeah, and you know what? I was actually talking to one of my really good friends today, and she said, Sarah, you know, we were done with math in 10 minutes. And I was like, oh no. And I said, yes. That's okay.
That's normal.
You know, they got that concept in 10 minutes. That's okay. You could just, you don't have to worry about Johnny going to the bathroom and, you know, and Sue is being really bad and talking in the middle. You know, it might only take 10 minutes to get through that math lesson, and that really is okay.
That is okay. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So you know, I just focused on homeschooling for our first 3 years, and it wasn't until this year, in this summer actually, when I went to a Handwriting Without Tears conference, working more on handwriting, which is one of my passions and always has been, but where it was suggested to me there, she said, you know, Sarah, the instructor did, said, Sarah, you know, there are so many homeschoolers that would benefit from being able to have access to an occupational therapist. Now, with occupational therapy laws, I can't do direct therapy except for anywhere in Pennsylvania. But what I can do is talk with families and really get in and be able to see that, you know, I do everything almost exactly like this through
kind of like an educational consultant.
Exactly. But with the OT expertise background, and how to add OT strategies in. And, and one of the biggest things that comes up for me is handwriting all the time. My kids' handwriting looks really bad, or they can't see on the lines, or they're still flipping letters, or, you know, there's just so much, which is why this topic I think is pretty pertinent.
Yes, it definitely is. So true. And so, so yeah, if you have a child that struggles with writing and you want to, you know, join in this conversation and say, you know, what do we do about this? You know, we've got an expert here. So, so definitely let us know that. And I also want everybody to know too, that our show is being sponsored by Bookshark, and we're going to learn about them later on, but Bookshark is an awesome homeschool curriculum to take a look at that works well with children who struggle. So anyways, thank you Bookshark for sponsoring this episode.
Thank you.
Yeah, should we start diving in? I'm gonna switch over, make sure I can see comments here. And
Perfect.
Right. And also, if you share this this link, you can share the YouTube feed, or you can, if you're on Facebook, you can share the post. This post that we're on right now can be shared anywhere publicly on Facebook, and it can be shared in groups too. But if you have permission, make sure you have permission before shared. And then also on Periscope. So that's on Twitter. And so you can retweet this tweet as well. So,
Good. I don't think I've ever been that many places at one time before.
I know. We started this in January, and it's kind of crazy on my end. But we'll make it work.
For sure. All right. So are you ready to dive in?
Yeah, let's dive in. I'm excited.
Okay. So... Oh, perfect. It is all working. So, you know, I really wanted to focus in not on kiddos that are already, you know, writing, but wanted to even backtrack a little bit farther into what do we need to see before we're really working on writing skills themselves and the actual pen, paper, all of that. And so what are skills and do you want to look for before you know that your child is even ready to begin the handwriting? So the first two on here, cognitive skills, to be able to understand even the purpose of writing, you know, and to even look at what is a letter and what does that correspond to? The second one, this is just my overview and we're going to go in a little more depth, but the second one, executive functioning skills. So do you have the attention to focus on your piece of paper? Do you have the organization to, and the sequencing to know, you know, first I have to put my paper down. I'm going to bring my other hand over here. I'm going to turn it so I'm ready. And then to be able to do all of the different strokes that handwriting needs. That's a lot of sequencing. Self-control, you know, am I working here? Am I able to control myself? This is OT and sensory is huge. You know, am I okay with this lighting that's going on over here on the side? You know, are the noises that are coming in from the hallway, is that too much for me? Can I control myself during all of this? And be able to focus on what I'm supposed to be doing. And then, you know, working memory. So as you're going along, do you know what you're talking about? And can you, and you're writing, can you remember what those things are as you're going? So these things I'm not actually going to go more in depth with today. I think we can probably do it. I could speak a whole hour just on those two themselves. I know you guys last week did a lot on cognition. And so I said, you know what, we're going to focus on those next three, which are all very important in themselves. So
yes, yeah, and we have some good things about executive functioning on our website too. It's betterschool.com, and you can find a lot of different resources on that.
Yes.
And yes, last week we talked about assessing students without tests and just how to find out what their cognitive abilities were. So definitely go back and look, you know, you can search our YouTube channel for a lot of those things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All right. So
see, we got a question from a viewer. Oh. Would you be fine answering the question before we moved on to the first slide?
Sure.
Okay. So Maria, thanks for joining us on YouTube. She said, great job. When would you recommend introducing lines for handwriting developmentally appropriate?
Can I just smile for a second? Because that's my best friend, Maria. So she clearly was like, I'm going to make sure that you guys.
Yeah.
I love her. So lines for handwriting are developmentally appropriate. However, it really depends on your kid and their vision skills. And we're going to look in on vision later on throughout this chat. So I'm going to answer it a little bit later.
Okay.
But thank you, Maria. All right, so stability itself. The OT term for this, and what we always say, is that you need proximal stability before you can have distal mobility. So what that basically means is proximal is closer by, and then distal is as you go farther out within your hand, like, right?
I would think about it as distance, yes.
distance.
It's and proximity, means, and okay,
yeah, that makes absolutely sense. It's the same thing. So your hands do not have the freedom to move. Your wrists do not have the freedom to move if you are not strong and supported through your core. This goes all the way back to developmentally. You know, kids crawl, really, and that is so important, because when they're crawling, they're getting so much strength through their shoulders, through their scapulas or their shoulder blades. They're getting it, you know, all the way down into their core of how you can hold and support yourself. So this, that stability later on prepares for your writing. So without it, you're not going to have the freedom of movement within your wrists and your hands. So one of the very, very first things that I talk about with families, and I actually think I have it on the next slide. Yeah. With families is, if your kid is having a hard time using their hands, or you don't think that they have enough freedom for fine motor skills, stop for a hot second, back up, and focus more on the core and your shoulder strengths. And even your, you know, all the way down to your forearms, your biceps, work your way out. And so what can this look like? For little guys, it's tummy time. And then as they get older, it's still, let's do some things on your stomach. You know, you can do a puzzle laying on your stomach the same way that you could do it. You know, you can laying over or putting a pillow there if you don't want to, but laying over top of that. You can do the scooter boards, you know, those square scooter boards.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. My kids love that. We put it, we have hardwood floors. And so I would put one on one end, and this is terrible. My 2-year-old and my 4-year-old bowl with each other, each other down, some things.
It's better. You know, my boys used to roll each other down the stairs in sleeping bags until they broke
same
a
thing.
Finger.
Yeah. but they're also walking, they're using their hands to pull their bodies. And so that is going to build that same shoulder and core stability. Anything, even on inside lying, you know, if you're propped up on one elbow, that's that same stability through one elbow. And then you've got that mobility with the other hand. Climbing outside. I love the freedom of homeschooling so that we can be outside. Now in this time, it's a little bit different, although there are, you know, my state itself has closed down most of our playgrounds and trails and things, but being out in your own backyard, if that's available, or within the woods, I mean, you're going to be 6 feet away from people out there, right?
Exactly.
Climb a tree, you know, until they say we can't do that, please go outside and climb around and move. Obstacle courses are the same thing, even within our homes.
My kids used to make them out of every piece of furniture we had, and cushions off. Okay, you have to jump over this one and do this. That is an all day activity if you have kids in the house.
Take those couch cushions, fly over them, tumble, do whatever, then build your fort with them when you're done and relax and watch a movie. after, you know, right. after you have done the physical thing. And then you can say, hey, I was working on handwriting today.
Exactly. You know,
and then you can see my boys down here. These are, I have four kiddos. My oldest is 11, and then I have an 8-year-old. And then these are, they are both now four. They're 3 months apart. I have one kiddo here full time, and then one we do a foster care respite with. So I've got them part time. Awesome. So these, this is them playing with their arms up here, you know, so are reaching to their heads for those of you that can't see it. And that is going to give the same stability throughout your shoulder and your scapula. We call it the shoulder girdle. So through that whole space to help to build that proximal stability to give that distal mobility later on. Chores, washing windows. you know, this is my shout out.
Like the Karate Kid, the wax on, wax off.
Absolutely. Do it. Yes, wax on and wax off. It is perfect. Wash those windows. You know, we, I do a lot of writing with my kids on windows with whiteboard markers because you can wash that right off the same way. Or painting on an easel, anything like that. You know, if you can pin anything up on a wall, even if you're doing pin the tail on the donkey for a little bit, you know, something that's up high, anything that is not where you are looking down and your hands are down here, that's going to work on that core stability in your shoulder girdle. Which is...
It's not a motion we do naturally all the time, at least in our society anymore. Because like you said, we're down like this, we're over a computer and, you know, just even like putting dishes in, you know, the cupboards and you have to do those types of things.
Absolutely. And, you know, laundry is another fantastic one. You know, even if you're having your kids, you know, if you have stairs and picking up and throwing your, you know, all your laundry down the stairs at you. It's more fun.
It is more fun,
they're picking it up and they're throwing it, and that is all upper body and shoulder strength. And then they carry down, you know, the basket that's right there. I wouldn't have them throw a laundry basket at you. That's not really that
right. Fun. No, but, so, the soft things in there is good.
Right, right. So then, if they're carrying the laundry basket, that is even more because it's both hands together that they're carrying it down there. You're having all of that support there. And then if you're loading the washing machine from there, you're doing that at all different heights and it is the same thing. Or when you're done and you have it all folded and they push the laundry basket back, like hold it on the floor and have to push it with their upper body, it's all the same, very, very same muscles and same thing.
Thinking if you have competitive kids and you have two of those, you could make relay
races
right. the floor.
Yep. And now you have your laundry done and your windows washed.
And maybe your floor clean too. There we go.
So many good things that are happening. And you you are nowhere near your pencil yet. Yet you're working on all of those skills.
Yeah.
So once we have that stability and you're thinking about, okay, I actually am going to write something, then looking at your posture is also very important. So we want to make sure that people are set up for success. So this kiddo here, this is just a picture that I got off of Google. I don't know this guy, but he's actually pretty slouched, right? And that's kind of why I wanted to look at it.
And that's how we see a lot of kids.
Yeah. And look how high up his desk is. You know, it's all up here. So he has to have his arm up really high and then he's slouching over. So he's not in good posture. Ideally, what you're looking for is where your wrists are going to have to be an extension a little bit. So they are pointing up about 40 degrees or so.
Okay.
And then where you're sitting up straight, your shoulders are, you know, not hunched up by your ears, but are nice down, and your elbows are at the height of the desk. So this guy, he's not set up for success. And then your feet flat on the floor. So, you know, if you have to make, and a back support it too. I mean, sitting on a bench is not typically the best way to do it, because then you're having to worry about all of this stability and holding yourself. And so you aren't even giving your hands the freedom for movement. So did I lose you sound wise?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay,
Can
I can hear you. I
you
was just getting some
hear me?
feedback, so I wanted to make sure
Okay.
that you didn't lose me.
Nope, I'm not hearing any feedback on my side. So
Okay.
hopefully that's if you're watching and you do hear feedback, definitely let us know. Maria had another comment about our last discussion on the chores. She goes, "So good for kiddos, so many reasons. Never thought of it as a motor skill activity.
See?
Gonna have to have my new now homeschooled, like many of you children, wash windows tomorrow."
Oh, they're gonna love me. They're gonna be so
Yes, don't tell them where
happy.
you got the idea. They
I
may shut us off on
know.
Tuesday nights.
It is, they are going to be so excited about washing windows. Just tell them it's all in their handwriting.
If you use those markers, those window markers, if you have any of those in your house, draw on the window and then have them wash it off, and they'll at
Right.
least
And
think
you
that
know what?
they're
We were
just.
just talking about that. So many artists are doing free illustration lessons
Yes.
right now. Instead of
Exactly.
drawing on your paper, draw it on the window tomorrow with your white markers. You can have, I mean, Mo Willems is one that we said was doing it. You know, you can have Elfin Piggy up on your sliding glass door tomorrow and send me a picture of it. I will be so excited. And then
Mo
have them wash
Williams
it off.
and Mark Kistler is another one to look up. So definitely there are lots of good ways to do that. Awesome.
So once you are supported, you also need to have your feet flat on the floor. So again, all these dangling feet, things like that, they are also making it so that your body is having to consciously control your posture and not able to give you that
Because you
freedom of
can't get
movement.
that full permanent stability without your feet firm on the
Exactly.
floor.
Firm on the
I'm sorry,
floor.
I'm short. I can't reach the floor most of the time when I'm at places. I bring like books to put under my
See?
feet
There you go.
sometimes.
There you go. Now, there are kiddos that need more input. This is another sensory thing that just really sitting in a chair, they just want to wiggle because they need that
Yes, they
movement
need the
going.
movement.
And sit discs are my number one thing for that. You know, if you're sitting on something, even if, I mean, pillows that are really soft are not usually helpful. That's not giving any of that feedback either. But balls, I mean, you've seen a lot of places that are doing that where you're having to hold more with your core. And that's great if your core is strong enough. If you do not have a strong core and you're sitting on a ball, you're not going to be able to write. But sit discs that you can add into a chair are fantastic. You can Google those. They're, I don't know, less than $10 in most places. And the other thing would be to tie something around the bottom of a chair, you know, so you can tie. TheraBand is something that you can use, but you could also even, oh gosh, what are those called? They're just elastic things that you would use.
Oh yeah, for the for working out, they have the
Right,
elastic
that
bands.
works. Or even just if you know when you have too many things in your trunk and you have to hold your trunk
Oh, the bungee
together.
cords.
Right,
Yes.
bungee cords. That's what I'm
Oh
looking
yes.
for. Bungee cords you can hook onto your chairs at the bottom, and then they can have something to kick their feet into. So you are
Oh
still
yes.
supported,
So
but you
they're
are getting
still
that
supported.
sensory input that you might need.
Right. And that's what Nancy said, that they use a ball chair. But that is a good thing. I've never even thought about that. Yes, it can help build core strength, but if your child is struggling with that core strength, it may not be the best thing to have them do the handwriting with right away.
Or the ball chairs, some of them have backs. Nancy, does yours have a back on it? Like if they're the balls, but then they have the back already built in. Those are fantastic because you can be supported and still get that input. It's just
Well,
if you
that's
do
a good
not
point.
have the core strength and you're not supported and you're trying to hold your body up here, you just don't have that freedom. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah,
Then
she said
Nancy, you've got
yes.
it. Yeah, that is absolutely fantastic. It's a great way to go. So then, and I did, I put a link here to the OT toolbox. Now, this is not my website, but it is another OT. And
That's another one we send parents to also. I
yes,
think that is an incredible website.
it is an absolutely incredible website. And she has so many different things on there. And chair posture, she gives a really good reasoning why. And there's also really good pictures on there of what you can do. And what you should look like when you are sitting to write. So,
Awesome.
all right. So next, so we're seated in a good spot. You know, we have good stability. So here we go. Now we're going proximal down to distal. So then you need your fine motor
The fine
skills.
motor
Okay.
skills, yes.
So I'm going to back up a little bit again to the very, very, very beginning, to the reflex. Okay. So primitive reflexes is actually a fairly new area within the past. I was out of OT school before, or out of graduate school before we were really researching on reflexes. So it's been within the last 15 years that people are really paying attention to this. And the reflexes, what they are is they are before you are born, and they're usually integrated within the first year or two. However, for kids who they're not, and these reflexes are, you know, when you put your hand on your finger in a baby's palm, they curl it right back in there. You know, they, that's just a reflex. And when you turn a baby's head, their arm flies out to their side. That's a reflex. It's how they learn that you, to have eye-hand coordination. And it starts to integrate once they figure out, oh, I can control that. And that's all usually within the 2 years. There's a number of reflexes. I'm not going to go into all of them today, but they all do.
We talked a little bit about that on one of our videos. Actually, one of my board members is a neurodevelopmentalist.
Fantastic.
And so, so just search our YouTube channel for those reflexes.
Great. If they are not integrated, there is a lot of very, very specific exercises that you can do to help those to be integrated. I would recommend, you know, if you think that they are not, you know, if you can see your kid when they are, you know, you can Google, and like you said, the you can look up information on yours, but you can Google, you know, what would it look like if my kid's reflexes are not integrated, and kind of do that self screening. But then it would, I would say you would go and get a direct therapy. You know, you need occupational therapy, physical therapy can address it some too. But the very specific exercises vision therapists also do to help you to be prepared then to move forward. But without those reflexes integrated, you're, you know, all of these skills are going to come very, very, very more difficult, you know, much more difficult. All right. So we've got our reflex integrated, and there's a certain developmental pattern that it goes through for all grasps, you know, so babies are first, they've got the reflex, and then they're going to use their whole hands together.
Like you see those little kids holding those crayons.
Right. I know.
Just writing like that.
Then they're going to be able to start to pass the objects between them. Then they're going to be able to oppose their thumb, which is basically, you know, your thumb can go to your pinky, your thumb can touch your, you know, all of them. And then you can finally get that pincer, which is typically around year one, but it could be a little bit longer. And then from there, you've got your tripod grasp that comes in later, but you have to kind of go in this progression, you know, so if you're stuck on, and we're still on this whole hand, and you have really good posture and stability and your reflexes are integrated, you need to spend a lot of time on some fine motor and your core and shoulders to make sure that you're ready before you're actually even picking up a pencil. So then once we are able to hold that tripod grasp, there's also things that you need to be able to do within your hand. You know, so we're moving a pencil from our fingertips into your palm so that you can move it around and have that freedom of movement. You're moving your hand up and down on a pencil as you're going along. The other thing typically that you can do within your hand is hold an object and also then hold your pencil. You don't have to be able to do that to write, but your hands should be able to do that. Thinking about if you're going into your pocket and you're, you know, you're getting out some change and then you're going to put it in the soda machine. You don't drop all the other change to put your quarter in. So you have to be able to kind of disassociate one side of the hand to the other side of the hand.
That's a good point.
So those are all the motor skills. I've got here some great ideas to work on those. Now, this is a topic that clearly, if you go on Pinterest or anywhere, there are 100 million gazillion.
You can get lost in Pinterest.
Right, of ideas for play to build some fine motor skills. And I would say that that is fantastic, but also don't get stuck on it. I mean, it's so hard if you're looking at, oh, look at all of this colored noodles that people have done.
And exactly.
And I'm building the rainbow with my colored noodles. That is, if you are a colored noodles person, more power to you. Fantastic.
Exactly.
I'm so proud
Find
of you.
Find something that you as a parent can live with.
Yes,
And
exactly.
this looks like a really good idea. And yeah.
Right. I was never a colored noodle mom or a, make your own Play-Doh mom. That was not me. However, I do still have done a lot of stuff for fine motor skills. So there are other ways to do it. Tweezers and tongs, anything with those, or chopsticks. I
Oh,
still,
yes.
still cannot eat with chopsticks, but my kids love to, and they love to play with them. So just picking things up, moving them around. Today I did do, because I was making fun of rainbows, but today, since it was St. Patrick's Day, I had them draw rainbows, and then I put some coins in water and froze it, and so they had to melt the melt of the ice. They were getting the coins out. My 4-year-old was going at it with a chisel. Of course, my 11-year-old very nicely, she was a bit sassy today, but my 11-year-old so nicely took hers right over and put warm water on it and melted all of her ice. And it's like, okay, well,
That
that
shows
was,
their ingenuity as
yeah,
well.
right? That's
You're
different.
working on STEM skills as well
Right,
as
right. Different, but my 8-year-old did get out salt and was rubbing it across too. So, what? The motor task didn't work so well, but they got their science in, I guess.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So, tweezers and tongs. Yeah. So then my 4-year-old was using the chopsticks and pulling out all of his money that, he tasted the rainbow after he was a little leprechaun. Pipe cleaners are fantastic. Wicki sticks. Those are the wax almost pipe cleaners, and they are fantastic. You can make animals out of them. You can add them to paper to give an extra line if you need it. Squigs, those are little suction cup toys. You can put them on windows too, and you're pulling them off. You can also use them as darts, and then you've got, target accuracy where you're trying to throw it at one specific spot. Anything lacing Play-Doh, like I said, is fantastic. Finger play song, so where's Thumpkin? Where's that going? And then, what else is great is cotton balls. Because they can stick to your hands, and so
Yes,
you
they
have to really be
can.
paying attention to them and be able to pull them apart and off your hands, and they just give you an extra level of dexterity, because sensory wise, you have to be, I mean, A, you have to be okay with that feeling, but you're really having to pay attention to, is there still some on my hands? And most of the time, there is. You get these little teeny, teeny, tiny movements of your thumb is scraping it off your finger,
Oh, exactly.
especially
Yes.
cotton balls and glue. Make Santa Claus beard, or the
Oh,
Easter Bunny is
yeah.
coming up. Make Peter Cottontail. That's a great fine motor activity. For older kids, they're done. They're not really, like I said, my daughter who took her pot of gold right over and melted her ice, and she was not over into that. But she is, however, into cooking all the time. She will open any container so that she can bake anything and everything. So opening those containers, Ziploc bags, having to open those, if you have to take something from your container and put it into a Ziploc bag, even better.
A lot
Video
of
games.
hand-eye coordination. Yeah, video games. They're all happy to do
Yep.
that
And I have such a love hate relationship with them. But you know what? If you are doing video games on your stomach, now we have that core stability and the fine motor skills and the eye hand coordination. And there is a place for it. It is not where I think that a kid should be on their screen all day long, but there is a place for it, especially, I just ordered my son a headphone so that he can talk to his friends. Right now, they're going to be playing NHL with his hockey team, because now is a time when he has to figure out a way to be more social and at
More
home.
social. Yes,
Yeah.
exactly.
Grip strengtheners, which are just, I mean, you can get those at Dick's Sporting Goods. They're just squeezing in and
Oh,
out.
yeah.
And then also a stress ball. Mazes. So that would be, pointing through, or for my younger kiddo that we were doing, or he's 8 now, but when we were doing skip counting with him, I had him skip counting kind of the dot to dots and going through with a maze, and he was tracing them with a dot or marker. You know, those are the big ones that you can hold with your hand. So he would go
the dot markers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he would be, you know, 2, 4, 6, 8. He's, think Bingo and Golden Girls. You know,
they're right, exactly. Dot markers. Yes. Uh-huh. They're huge.
Mm-hmm. And you can do mazes also, you know, within a Ziploc bag. So what I'm talking about here is, like I said, I'm not typically a mom who's going to make noodles or things like that, but I have gone to the dollar store and gotten dollar hair gel or shaving cream and put it inside of a plastic bag, a Ziploc bag, zip that up, and then you are writing in there with your finger.
Oh, yes. I've seen that as like a handwriting.
Yep, exactly. You could put other little, around Christmas time this year, I drew my son, my youngest son, a picture of Santa on there, and he was putting red cotton balls inside and white ones. And so he was moving the red ones up to the hat, the white ones down to the beard, you know, so it is just, some of these things they're really fun for half an hour at the most, but it's something different for that day. And if it fits in and can keep him entertained specifically while I'm working with my older kids, and be working on the skill, it's great.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, we have a couple comments.
Okay, go for it.
Our viewers, Nancy said that right now they're doing an AP class in chores.
Yeah.
Having extra time at home.
Right. So that's true, Nancy. Yes, that's good. Well, tomorrow they're watching windows and dusting the ceiling fans.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, exactly. Because I don't think my cleaning lady is going to be coming to my house for a while.
Nope.
So my daughter even said, Mom, I will clean my own bathroom. Thank you.
Yes, you will.
and chopsticks. Yeah. I love the chopsticks. And, you know, for older kids, they don't feel like, oh, this is, you know, I'm working on some sort of skill. This is,
right.
You know, well, yeah, we eat with chopsticks once a week in our house. My kids love it. So that's
great. Well, see, they're clearly with their motor skills. They have it.
Yes. So we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. Are you done with this slide? I don't want to rush
absolutely.
You.
No, I am. I'm going to go on to the next one.
A good place to stop. So perfect. I'm going to let Sarah get a drink of water. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to hear from our sponsor, Bookshark. So we just thank Bookshark for sponsoring a lot of our shows recently. And we definitely want you to check out their resources at bookshark.com. But Bookshark is a homeschool curriculum, and it's literature-based, and it's a 4-day faith-neutral curriculum. You can see them at bookshark.com. But Kim McNeary, a busy homeschool mom, says, my daughter's on the spectrum as well as has OCD and has instantly taken to this curriculum. It's incredibly structured, which makes us both ecstatic. The books are great, and the kids are awesome, too. I'm running my daughter at all kinds of appointments. Well, probably not right now, but she said the curriculum fits amazing into their busy schedule, and they are happy as lark. And Bookshark just wants you to know Kim's right, that they are a fully planned 4-day homeschool curriculum that flexes to match your busy lifestyle. And the detailed instructor's guide lays everything out so clearly that you are prepared to teach in mere minutes. Isn't that wonderful? You just open your guide, gather your resources, which are also included, by the way, and you go. And so they have curriculum for ages 4 to 16. It's available. You can get the full subject package, or you can kind of pick and choose what would work best for you with reading with history, language arts, science, and math. With Bookshark Literature programs, your children will read or have books read to them 35 to 50 every year. Isn't that amazing? And they will engage with them as well, not just listen to them and let them go. So you can download samples at bookshark.com and or request a catalog. So so thank you, Bookshark, for your sponsorship. And we're going to get back into talking about handwriting and just how to help kids with these pre-writing skills. So welcome back, Sarah.
Thank you. Yeah, we're going to move on to the next section. And if you notice that I have not even really talked about picking up a pencil yet. You know, we are still with our pre-handwriting skills. And so this next part is so near and dear to my heart. This is my middle guy here, Caleb. He's 8 years old. No, just kidding. He turned 9 last week.
I know we're having a lot of birthdays too right now. It's kind of hard to keep track of all that.
Yeah, so he is 9 years old, and he really, really has struggled with reading for a very long time. And I could tell that something just wasn't quite right, but it wasn't that he just wasn't getting it. And then one day he said to me, he was like, Mom, how on earth does anyone read when the words are moving on the page? And I was like, oh, well, they're not.
They're not.
No, let's delve into this a little bit more. And, you know, within being an occupational therapist, I have taken courses on vision in the past. Mm. And so I could kind of recognize it a little bit. But then it took us, so we went to a developmental ophthalmologist. Then we went to a functional vision expert, and he was in vision therapy for 12 weeks. And this kiddo is night and day since that point in time. And if you look on, you know, if you follow me on Instagram, I'm Collins Academy Therapy Services. Mm-hmm. I did an interview last week with his actual, the two functional vision optometrists that we worked with what vision therapy is and what these skills are that you need to be able to use, that you need to have before you're able to write and to see and to read. You know, vision is so much more than acuity. It's not just, oh, you know, it's 20/20 or then I'll get glasses. Because you can see here in this picture, I mean, my kiddo's got some glasses, but it wasn't that. He could not, my next door neighbor, and if she's listening, she would be very upset with me, but they were playing Frisbee outside and this poor kiddo did not even see the Frisbee coming in front of his face. And he had a giant black eye for us. She felt so guilty, but it was not his acuity. What it was is convergence. So his eyes were not teaming together and then we're not moving. So convergence is when you are looking at something far away and then it moves in close. It's almost like going cross-eyed. Mm-hmm. And he did not have the eye musculature to be able to do that. Right. So if you are tracking something and and he also had delayed tracking because of the eye musculature. So let me just go through what some of these things are.
Yeah,
so
definitely. It's good for parents to know just, you know, what to be looking for.
Right.
And be aware of that it could be causing problems.
Definitely. And if any of this stuff sounds familiar to you, there is, I think it's, I did not link this here. Oh, yes, I did. COVD.org is on here. And they there is a screening test there where you can look at it and say, I'm sorry, I don't know what is coming up on my screen. But you can read through that and answer. It's a Likert or a Likert scale, you know, so 0 to 5. And it will give you, should I look more into vision therapy for my child before even having to go?
That's a nice way to kind of like self-assess beforehand.
Yes.
And if you're watching or listening on our podcast and you can't see the slides, I will definitely share all of these links in our YouTube video. So you can just search the same episode on our YouTube channel if you're wanting to find all those resources.
Perfect. All right. So eye movements themselves, tracking is able to follow a target or to switch from one object to another. So going from, in the case we were just talking about, being able to follow that Frisbee coming at him, but also tracking, you know, to follow a line, the letters across the page, to be able to go that way. To be able to follow an object. So if there's something in front of you, can you follow, you know, the old, good old doctor, can you follow my finger here to here, up and down in all quadrants? You know, if you're thinking about if a butterfly, if you're outside and a butterfly flies away, can you follow that with your eyes? All of those are all signals as far as tracking, and you have to be able to do that to be able to read and to write. Fixation is to be able then to look at one specific object. So the Frisbee coming in at him, that's the object he was focused on. And as is it coming at you, can you follow it? Convergence, so the eyes moving in together and keeping, but the important part of that is to be able to keep a single vision. So it doesn't turn into two objects coming at you. So you don't end up with that double vision. And then focusing is the rapid and accurate clarity. I'm just going to read it. So for those of you who are not, who are on the podcast. So focusing is the rapid and accurate clarity to look from one distance to another, such as from your desk to the chalkboard, or from your desk to your piece of paper that you're copying in front of you. And
right. I was going to just say copying skills that mm-hmm. you have to be able to do that.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. To really work on this skill, my very, very favorite thing that we have done is we have bird feeders right outside of our window in my kitchen. And we put a bird guidebook mm-hmm. right next to it. And so we now know, I mean, we know a lot of the mm-hmm. birds that are coming there, but they will mm-hmm. go straight from the bird feeder than to look down right at that book. And that is, I mean, that is that clarity, you know, and that focus.
Right. Yeah. You have to be from able your to distance focus
to your near sight. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Oh, mm-hmm. we have had so much fun.
I just remember when we first started working a week job and I went to mm-hmm. see an optometrist and he's like, you're looking at a computer screen all day. Turn yep. around, look out mm-hmm. your window, you know, yep. on a regular basis, because you're going to lose that.
Right.
And as adults, we have to remember that as well. But if our kids are doing school online, which
yes.
a lot of you are going to have kids doing school online, this is something to think about, is you need to get them looking long distances, not right. just the short distances, because mm-hmm. it will really affect their vision and their ability to learn.
Yeah. One of the things that his vision therapist told us was the 20-20-20 rule. So mm-hmm. every 20 minutes, look at something 20 feet away for 20 seconds. Mm. So that you're making sure that you are switching that.
Write vision. That reminder for yourself, parents.
Yeah, right?
Yes, definitely. Yeah,
20-20-20. Mm-hmm. And your knees for your posture. And you're like, so we want 90-90-90 for your posture and 20-20-20 right. for your vision. Just keep those numbers straight. Good luck.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Awesome. So, you know, this is kind of what I was talking about before, a mm-hmm. little bit of what the mm-hmm. signs and symptoms of what you might be seeing if vision is an issue that's going to impact your handwriting. So right. any double vision, if you're seeing your kids when they're reading, holding their fingers there, you know, going across. Now that is age appropriate, clearly, at the beginning.
Right, when they're younger. Yes, right. when learning.
Right, and you know what? That's also because developmentally, it takes a while for those eye muscles to work. And as mm-hmm. we're having our kids read earlier and earlier, you're going to see that finger move for longer. But if it is past age 8, that's when we really want to check it in. Because developmentally, the eye muscles mm-hmm. should be working well around age 8. Interestingly, if you are learning to read other languages, that Mandarin specifically that goes up and down, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you should be able to do that before age 8 because your eye muscles are more developed
down.
In that plane mm-hmm. than they are going side to side. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you're not reading English, you're having a hard time seeing, just, you know, switch to Mandarin.
That's so funny you say that, because my kids first started learning Chinese as their foreign language because my son's speech issues,
yeah.
he couldn't say his R's. And I said, we can't do Spanish if you can't say an R.
No,
and there's no R's in Chinese.
No.
So my kids learned Mandarin for 2 years. But well, yeah, so there you go.
If your child
is
having vision issues, maybe that might be there's an alternative there, or a compensatory strategy. Go for
exactly.
that. the other thing, if they are avoiding reading, and you know what, my son would... he would cry and cry and cry. But then, you know what? As soon as I would put he would listen to audiobooks all day. Mm-hmm. He loved stories, but he would not read them. Mm-hmm. However, if I would put a piece of paper covering all of the other lines mm-hmm. on it, he was mm-hmm. golden. He could read the whole line. Oh, it was that looking at one thing mm-hmm. And his eyes just could not focus. Now that can be a perceptual thing too. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go into that a little bit more.
Okay.
But if the words are moving, or if you're getting frequent blinking, things like that, vision therapy all the way. I cannot say enough about it, about how fantastic it was for my son. But then there's also visual scanning activities and things that you can be doing at home. The hidden pictures books magazines and highlights, things like that, you know, looking through and even starting, saying we start up at the top and we go left to right, you know, even working through that. So where's Waldo? Let's start up at the top and follow your finger all the way across as you're going. Mm-hmm. Puzzles, you know, they are huge, especially, you know, we were talking about that stability. I put puzzle pieces on one side of the room, and our puzzle over here, we're going to ride our scooter over there, or wheelbarrow walk, or crawl, mm-hmm. crawl over, get your puzzle piece, bring it back over, put it in this puzzle over here. And that's all visual scanning as well. I talked about the my bird feeders and you know, but outdoor play as well. You know, if you're looking at something far away, and then, or if you, you know, you pick a leaf and then you're going to look at it, you know, close up and look at those details. As a mom, I have found, I have learned so much about nature through my own children, but it just wasn't something as a full-time, you know, occupational therapist. I just, it was not an interest, and my eyes have been open to the world through my kids and through homeschooling. But I will say, you know, if you are looking at something and they're, then their attention is drawn away, and then you draw their attention right back to this leaf or this flower, and you point out something else, not only are their eyes changing, not only is their attention span changing, but their just respect for the world. I just, go outside.
Go outside. I know. Yes, exactly.
Wash the windows and then go outside and you have done your handwriting. and nature journals are the same thing. You know, if you are observing something at a distance and then you're drawing it up close, you're working on that same skill. All right. So the hardware itself, you know, was the eyes, but then the perceptual skills. So it's if your brain can make sense of what your eyes are seeing, they have to, your brain has to interpret it, has to analyze it, and has to make sense of what we're doing. And there are parts of this as well. So visual figure ground, think about, you know, you open that junk drawer in your kitchen and can you find the can opener in it? Right. You have to be able to decipher around everything that's there to be able to pick up that one thing. And on a, if you're writing or you're reading, you have to be able to see a B is a B on this big, you know, page of all of these other letters, or, you know, on your letter flashcards that you have. I have one family that I've been talking with that their son can knows all of his letters if he's looking at this one specific, card or one set of cards that they used, but then you flip it over to another one and he can't decipher it. And we're working on it still. Is it because the background and he can't even pick it out from the background? Or is it the visual memory? You know, can he recall the details of that? The same thing is form constancy. So letters are the same no matter the font. So,
right. You
know,
I was going to say font is, if they are one that just memorizes the entire picture versus the structure of the lines,
right?
Then yeah, you can really have a hard time with that.
And this is where, you know, the multisensory part comes in, because if you're just memorizing that one thing or that one card, you know, you're not able to then translate that to something else. And that's, you know, I love Handwriting Without Tears specifically for that. I have not, I'm going to be completely honest, I have not really looked at a lot of other handwriting.
That's what I use for all three of my kids.
Because
my first two were struggling learners. My third one was not, but it's what I knew how to teach. And so we used it. And I love, you know, the boards where you actually put these, you know, build the letters first and then you, you know, use fingers and draw them. And they have,
And even the auditory component of that, you know, we are making an H. So we need a big line down, another big line down, and a little line across. So now you have the auditory component. You've got the tactile because you can touch it. You've got the visual because you can see it. I can't say enough about that program. But again, I know that there are a lot of others out there. And if you have questions about some, I do know a little bit about a lot of different programs, but the one that I have used and loved the most has always been Handwriting Without Tears. So I think that's primarily everything that I had. I know we wanted to leave some time for questions and specifically about perceptual skills and it, really any of this stuff. So fire at me.
No, it's been really good. I definitely appreciate it. And, you know, just ideas on how to, we don't even have to pick up a pencil to do writing, you know, and I hope that if you watched, you know, through this video that you understand that writing, and it's one of those required subjects here in Texas for homeschooling. You know, some states have required subjects, some don't. And, But you can be working on these skills and your kids won't even know that they're actually doing school.
Right.
They can be, just out playing and you just, purposely, drawing their attention, like you said, while you're out in nature or putting a book next to the window or, doing all those things are, it's just stuff we do as parents or,
Right.
we can, but if we understand that it's going to add to their ability to learn even better.
Yes, absolutely. And I've worked with a lot of families with really young kids who are talking about, well, I'm ready for the pencil and, are we ready to go? And I want to encourage people to back up a little bit and make sure that you've got that core strength and that their vision is ready and that they are, they have all of these skills before you really start pushing handwriting and reading, all those literacy things, because what you have to teach a kid who's ready is going to take them so much less time to learn. Then you're not going to have the frustration and the the hatred of it. What we want to be fostering is a love of learning in our kids, and that doesn't mean that we have to be super far ahead in writing and in reading. It means that we want to encourage the love of it.
Right. So. Yeah. And when they love it, they can advance really fast.
Yes.
And it's amazing when you get all of those pieces into place that, like you say, they can learn to write extremely quickly.
Yeah.
And if you haven't ruined them with practicing, like we were talking about before the broadcast began, all those handwriting sheets that just, they become monotonous. And so, add some fun, add some, multi-sensory things in that, Sarah introduced to us tonight and make it something that they enjoy doing. So they say, when are we going to do that activity?
Right. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what we want them doing for every subject is, Oh, to love literature, love, expressing themselves.
Right.
They can do that.
Yes. Now, I did not really mention much about cursive. And again, we could do a whole other talk about that. Mm-hmm. For my son, the one who I said has all of the vision, which now, again, we're pushing through all of that. But for him and perceptually, the motor planning wise for him to do cursive where he doesn't have to pick up his pencil all of the time. And he thinks it's like art. So he had because he had such a hard time with writing and reading at the beginning, he did, kind of find that hatred for it for a while. Right. But he's an artist and we introduced cursive to him and he is learning so much more and so much faster. And he loves every second of it. We put that on our loop, the things that we don't do every day, but that he gets, we have a loop time every day as part of our schedule and they rotate through. He's got drawing, he's got cursive, Latin, just a couple of different things that he does on different days, but his cursive days, and typing days, he loves them specifically for that.
Yeah.
So, just how to find me from here.
Yes. Definitely.
You always can email me with any questions. For me to consult, if you wanted to find out about that, consulting specifically with your family and how that works, homeschoolot.com, you can go there.
Awesome.
And then I post a lot about our homeschool as well as I typically do a series every week on my Instagram page.
Awesome.
I planned on doing handwriting all this week to go along with this, but then I've ended up just doing some trying to encourage
this week has been a little bit different in the homeschooling community for all of
us. So just
kind of want to be a support to all of you there.
Simple encouragement and trying to encourage the connection within families. Yesterday I think I posted about make your bed. You know what, it's okay. We're just going to start our day, accomplish one thing, and if everybody in your house has made their bed today, you have all accomplished something. But typically I do a series. I did 2 weeks on vision. One was on the hardware, the vision itself, and then one on visual perceptual skills and things that I've done within our home. And this goes back a little bit before October. Once I got the whole LLC and everything moving, I was already on Instagram a bit then. But so you can find me there. I post almost daily on there. And same thing, my Facebook, it's a Facebook business page, but those are all Collins Academy Therapy Services. So
yeah. Awesome. That's nice. They're all the same. So Collins Academy Therapy Services is where you can find Sarah and yeah, it's Nancy had, we have one more comment from her when she said her youngest has low tone and a hard time holding a pencil. So hopefully Nancy, this has helped a little bit, giving you some ideas on how you can work on those. And then she did have one question about another, about auditory processing disorder. Yes, we do have videos. If you search our YouTube channel, again, one of our board members, Dr. Jan Bedell, I did a interview with her, and she talked about auditory processing, and she also has a couple articles on our website, and so does Diane Kraft is also one of my board members, and she has So they've got some good articles on our website at spethomeschool.com that you can look for auditory processing disorder and just how to, some simple things you can do to start working around that. It's great to have all these resources that you don't have to buy a huge book or go to lots of classes. Here's some simple things to start working on right now. And so definitely check out those resources on our website. And this has been so informative, Sarah. I really appreciate you taking the time for this, and it definitely fit the mold for teaching tips and hints this month.
Perfect.
Because this, like I said, this is something we just haven't addressed yet on our show, and we've been going for 2 years. So we got a lot of videos. I think we have like 500 and almost 40 videos on YouTube. So there's a lot of resources there, but this is great. So thank you all for joining us and for your comments. It's been great to have you part of this conversation. And we're going to continue with this subject again next week. We are actually talking with Allison Morrow from Good Schooling, and the topic is, yes, you can homeschool a struggling learner. And so we're talking about everything. And it hadn't been planned that you would all be homeschooling probably. But we're going to talk about some options. If public school at home is not working out so well, which we have seen happen over and over again when parents have tried to use the public school option for special needs students. I have a feeling the same thing's going to happen when public school goes virtual into your home, that it's going to be a real struggle. And we just want you to know that we're here for you, and we can help you make that transition so that you are the one in charge, not the school. And that is legal in every state. So we want to definitely encourage you that if what the school sends home is not working and your student is getting extremely frustrated, there are other options. And there's people like Sarah. And,
that's what I was going to say, especially right now I am doing free 30-minute consults. So if you, you know, you're in a situation where you don't really know how to change it or how to fix it. My Instagram has my contact information. You just had it here. Reach out. I'm happy to do this. You know, we're all in this boat together right now.
Everybody in the homeschooling community is very open to helping, and especially those of us that have been in, I'm on my 18th year of homeschooling special education. Well, I've graduated both my boys that have the special educational needs. Now I have the gifted child left. But we have a lot of experience, and we've been through all of the things that you're going through. I didn't choose to homeschool. The school sent my child home and said, deal with him yourself. And now he's graduating from college this semester.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
I know. It boggles my mind. So we're here for you. And so every week on Tuesday nights, but we're adding something new next week. And I told Sarah about this. She, other than my team and board, she's the first to know outside. But now it's on our website already, but we are hosting a Special Needs Moms Night Out every Tuesday night after this broadcast starting next week. And so what's going to happen is we're going to switch over from a public broadcast to a private broadcast. And so if you join our Facebook support group, which you have to actually become a member of, or if you're not on Facebook, you can get a link to the private feed on YouTube off of our website each week. It's going to be a different feed each week. But then you can join in, and we are going to allow you to just watch if you want. If you can come in your pajamas, you can comment. But if you want to share a resource, you want to talk about what's going on in your home, you can come on live with me as well. And so I can have up to 5 guests at the same time. We can all be chatting. It's going to be a hoot. So, so that's going to be so fun. We're going to start that next week. And I just can't wait to get that started because we want to just encourage you, want to support you. We want to know you're not alone. And, and so that's the way we can do it. So, so yeah, check out our website, spedhomeschool.com for more info on that. It'll be, the link will come out tomorrow for the first YouTube feed. So, yeah.
Great. And thanks for all your support, Peggy. You do so much for this community. It's fantastic. It's
This is where my heart is. You know, I mean, I tell people I used to go to homeschool conferences and cry on my way home because there was nothing like this. And I definitely want to support all of you. And Maria said, you're a wealth of information on homeschooling, OT, and momhood. Good job. Definitely.
She's the best.
Appreciate that. We love those good friends and support us. We need them. Sometimes we think we're going crazy because of all the things we do. So, and we also want to thank Bookshark for sponsoring this episode. Definitely check them out at bookshark.com. And in their curriculum, if you're thinking this public school thing isn't working, they might be have something to offer. And we do have a whole curriculum picks page on our website. Bookshark is one of them. And even one of our board members wrote a review for them on just how well their curriculum works for struggling students. So lots of things to check out. So I think I covered everything. Thanks again, Sarah. And this was an amazing hour. So I hope you all got a lot out of it. And yeah, Sarah's information is also on our website. She's one of our partners as well. So lots of good things there. So, all right. So until next week, everybody, I will see you there, but have an awesome week and enjoy all the resources we're sharing in our Facebook resource sharing group. A lot of the things coming out that are free and we're trying to get them out as fast as we can. But all right. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
All right. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.